I even have faith in God, but just watch what happens when it's their world or it's their life that becomes turned upside down. Just wait and see what it is when they or even you, what you'll do when every earthly security for one reason or another is that which becomes shaken. And then in such times, I'd like to venture to ask, so where is your apparent faith, the faith that you said you have in God now? Job loss, financial loss, family sickness, health issues that won't go away, worldly stresses that push you to the maximum in concerns to what you believe you can handle. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to blow up on the inside. This is too much. How am I going to pay the mortgage? What am I going to do with the car payment? How am I going to feed the family? Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, declared what it was that Abraham found in concerns to his earthly existence was how that in every situation, in every circumstance that was brought before him, it was Abraham who in his heart, no matter what, hang on to that for now, no matter what, believed that his God was and would always remain faithful to him as promised. It doesn't matter what you go through, what it seems you are going through, where you're at in your life, where you're standing in the financial field, the job field, in your family. My family's a mess, for goodness sake. Abraham didn't go, what do we do now? I think it's time to run. I know, let's leave the church. Let's walk out on God. Let's quit being faithful to him and start making things on our own. Wrong. When reading the stories in the Old Testament of the lives of those such as Moses, Gideon, Esther, Daniel, or David, and then when reading in the New Testament about the lives and the lifestyles, as well as reading about the exploits of the two most prominent apostles of biblical times, speaking of Peter and that of the Apostle Paul, one common denominator that you as a reader will discover is the fact that each of them carried within themselves the same or a similar resolve as Abraham, their forefather, had. And it's you who will discover the fact that when reading of the trials and the tests of their faith that was repeatedly brought to the forefront of their lives, they didn't just get into trouble one time, they got in trouble many times. They didn't fall down just once. They didn't face adversity once. It was the Apostle Paul's pedigree as found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you were here Wednesday, you heard it before. Maybe you need to hear it today. I kept going, get him off of that. Get him away from that. But like I said in the onset, sometimes God wants you to hear something that you might have missed. 2 Corinthians, if you find about Paul's pedigree, to many it speaks of one who doesn't even seem normal. The reason is because who in the world could go through what it was that the Apostle Paul had gone through and yet still come out shining on the other side? 2 Corinthians chapter 24 through verse 30 says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Excuse me? I don't even want one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Anybody want to take his turn? In weariness and in painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's good enough for me. Let's stop. No. Ready? Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory the things which concern my infirmity. If we held a quick little testimony service, I don't think there's many of us, if any of us, would stand up. Guess what? I'm so broke I can't afford to pay attention. Yeah, yeah. Honey, you're home early. Yeah, they fired me. Oh, great. What are we going to do now? Well, I don't know. I think I'll take 2 weeks holiday. You don't even have the money for 2 weeks holiday. You know what? I broke my arm yesterday, and I've been in the hospital, and now they found something else wrong. Oh. Praise the Lord, everybody. Yeah. My wife, your husband, you know, threatened to walk out on you. The kids, well, they're just gone bad. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Reality. What world did you come from, preacher? As for Peter, even though he was the one who walked on water, even though Peter denied Jesus, right up and until it was he that was crucified upside down, the Bible shares with us some of the trials and the tests of both his faith and his life. Peter up, Peter down. Peter good, Peter bad. And you read about his life. Oh, he walked on the mountain with Jesus at all times. I don't know the man. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What about back there? Ready? Then there's Moses of the Old Testament, who at the Word of God, hear me now. We always talk about the Word, right? Brother Wilson's good for that one. For 20 years now, he's ingrained that in. Preach the Word! Ready? Moses at the Word of God trusted in his God. He went before Pharaoh and what? With an army, of course. No, but with a staff and with Aaron as his spokesman. Let's read together. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. He went before a mighty Pharaoh. You know what the Pharaoh says? Kill him. Over. Throw him in jail. Done. But he goes against this Pharaoh because you know why? Well, God told me to go against Pharaoh. Ready? Let's go. Chapter 5, 1 through 3. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. Go into your boss tomorrow and say, look, I want a raise. I've had enough. I want a promotion today. Yeah. It was Gideon who in the Bible, the book of Judges chapter 7, Judges chapter 7, verse 7. This is Gideon. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lappeth will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every other man go into his own place. What? Just 300 men? Yeah. And it was Gideon who believed God enough in that with pitchers and with praise, together he and his men would conquer and defeat thousands. Pitchers and praise. Yeah. Well, how about Esther in the book of Esther chapter 5? Esther chapter 5. Verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, and she stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and she touched the top of the scepter. Now, why did Esther risk her life by going before the king uninvited? Look into the history. What happened when somebody just walked into the throne room to greet the king? If he didn't extend his scepter, gonzo, you lost your head over the deal. Why would you risk your life, you crazy woman? I know you're Queen Esther, but he didn't call you. You're going to him. I'll tell you why. Because Esther understood the plight of her people, and she believing that when she went in before God, that God would be with her. I'm up against the wall. I don't know how to face this. I don't even know what to do or to say. Okay. If God be for us, who is against us? If I go in there and I deal with the situation, God's going to meet me there. Really? I'm talking to you today about unfeigned faith. That faith that says from the depths of your inner core that no matter what the circumstance or situation, nor what the outcome, it didn't work. I quit. No! Do it again if God tells you to. No matter what the outcome, it's your faith in God that remains what stands. You still believe God? You better believe I do. Hasn't your faith shaken? Potatoes, honey, rice, nothing else, it. No condiments to go with it. You still believe in your God? Yeah, I do. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. He didn't say, I'll give you what you want, I'll give you what you need. See, it was Daniel, the servant of God, who dared to defy a king's order and a decree. It was Daniel who held this unchangeable faith in the God being obedient to God rather than to be obedient to man. It was in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. When Daniel heard of the king's decree, he boldly defied it. And he went and he prayed and he done as he's always done before. You quit bringing your Bible. You quit praying. You knock it off. No more church for you, honey. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Listen to this. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, done deal, honey, I know it. He went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt down upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I'm in a restaurant, a bunch of sinners around me. They're all looking at me like this. You know what? Don't care. Jesus, thank you for this food. Bless it. Nourish your bodies in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. What do you think you're doing? I'm praying. Weirdo. Yeah? Jesus, close the mouth of the gainsayer. I'm in a public setting. Don't act like a Christian. He didn't care. He shut his window as he went into the closet. That's what he said, right? Open his window 3 times a day. God, I thank you, my God of Israel, my Savior, my Deliverer. Hey, don't you realize you're going to go into the lion's den?
Yep.
Don't care. How can you care? God's with me. We'll see. Verse 16, the same chapter of Daniel, he was marched to the lion's den. Ready? Oh, my goodness. You know what they did? They took old Daniel, chapter 6. Ready? 16. Then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. Now the king spake unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Is that good enough? No. All right. Verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. You're dead. Okay. Is that fair? How about verse number 20? And when he came, speaking of the king, to the den, he cried unto with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continuously able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lions or from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, King, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God.
You do that and you are going to face fire.
I serve the God who answers by fire.
I wouldn't even try that, buddy. You are treading on eggshells and on shaky ground.
I have a God who with his angels watches over me. Wow. Talk about faith.
But as I said, Daniel, who believed with all of his heart his God would deliver him out of the mouth of the lion, his faith still, I want you to catch this, remained unchanged. Ready? Quickly, let's move to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 12, the second portion of verse 3, how that God has given to every man the measure of faith. You got it. I got it. You got a portion of faith. You turn your lights on. You believe it's going on. You turn the key in the ignition. Yet in concerns to any one of our lives, the question is not whether you will trust, have faith or confidence in someone or something. But the question is, in what or in whom will you place that of an unbending, immovable faith and confidence in? What are you going to rest on? I hang on to my pulpit because you scare me. No! I hang on to the hands of the nail-scarred God that I serve, and he'll walk with me. Will it be money you put your trust in, your faith in? Will the material things that you possess, will it be your job? I trust that more than God. Will your trust or confidence reside in people or in the tangible things that you can see or feel? Or will you be the one who in your life, during your earthly existence, who will bear within your soul that of an unfeigned faith? Sincere, real, unchanging faith in the God whom together we claim to serve. Do you believe God or not? Yes! God will see me through. You don't look too good right now, honey. Yeah, well, whether I live or die, he's still on the throne and he's still my God. Question's been asked quickly is, where is it that your faith will stand when the world that you live in is on fire? What? Wars, famine, disease, economic collapse, job loss, we're seeing a lot of that. Financial hardships, a whole bit. What are you going to do then? Everything's upset. Wow. It's a proven fact that money, material things, jobs, the tangible, even people fail. Oh, yeah. But not one time will you find this determining factor resident within the workings nor the makings of God. Why? Because God, my friend, can never and will never fail. This isn't prepaid, public or political. But I want to say this because it really struck a chord. And I thought, you know what? I think we're blessed with our wives, you know. She's my best friend. Sometimes she's my only friend. She's the best friend I ever had. And you know what? I very seldom will share with her what I'm preaching. I might tell some of you before I told even my wife. I might mention it to you. But I don't share it with her. But when we went through that song service, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost took right off. She was dart bang on, black hole in the center, honey. Bang! And I thought, he will never, never, never let you down. He is the rock that I have found. Hallelujah! And I thought, wow, I didn't even tell you. We didn't even talk about that. Can I tell you how bad I am? Just don't put this on the table, erase this part. So what are you preaching on? That's what you got right there. I thought, man. I said, honey, Brother Holland took some of my message on Wednesday night. What are you preaching on? Do you like those black specs? They're very pretty. Yeah, I changed. I'm hanging on those doctors too long. Yeah, they won't help you in your fact. What's wrong with you? So I ask you to consider in your minds today, where has the presence and the power of the faith and the trust in God's ability to do in our lives all that God has done for the likes of those I just talked to you about? Is God a respecter of persons? No! Can I throw something else? I believe 100% with all my heart. He in the Bible has proven he is a respecter of our faith. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe God. No matter who you are. Sorry, Junie. The reason I want to ask you a question like that is because God, according to His Word, has not changed. Amen?
All right, God have you.
But I want you to know that in this modern and materialistic world, in the realm of people's modern thinking as a people, we have changed.
I'll hit it.
We're changed. We're not like Daniel's and Esther's and Abraham's and David's. And see, in this life, it's easy to get caught up in seeking our life's needs, seeking to that which are met through worldly avenues. You ready? You hanging on? Don't miss this. Worldly avenues of this life and not through God. That's how I fix my life. Ready? For example, when you're hungry, you go to the grocery store. When you're sick, it's you who seeks the help of a doctor.
Okay, ready?
But what happens when you're hungry and you don't have the money to buy the food that you need? What happens when you're sick and you come to discover how the doctors cannot help you? So then where is it that you turn? I'll tell you where I want to turn, to that unfeigned faith. I stand on the rock, my God of my salvation, and He will bring it to pass. He'll give me the money. He'll make a way. He'll heal my body. I don't make a respect of persons, but I'll tell you what. Here's a testimony that blew my mind. Oh, what? You're preaching this message. I am. But it's so cool when God does what He does. There's a young lady in our church, and she felt like she had a tumor in her tummy. And so what did she do? Can you believe this? How wrong is this? She got prayer. She's going down to get these ultrasounds and things done to her. But she came and she got prayer. And you know what? It was Brother Chad LeKing and Pastor. Together we prayed for her. Yeah, what about that? You ready? Ready? You ready for the bomb? If any two shall agree in earth is touching any one thing, anything that they ask shall be done to my Father. She goes and she gets the ultrasound, whatever, and the results come back. Zero. Nothing there. No tumor. Just a healed body and a beautiful mom and a wife that lives for God. Unfeigned faith.
Almost done. 45 pages left. Okay, ready. Here we go. Ready? Finances failed. Systems failed. Just what is it that you and life are going to do now?
We sing the song, Sister Z. Where do I go when there's no one who will listen? Where do I go when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. Pardon me. I go to the rock of my salvation. You see? It's you, my friend, who needs to approach God's throne of grace with that of an unfeigned faith. Meaning, God, I trust you. I'll continue in faith to live for you, to serve you, no matter what kind of an outcome comes from my petition or my prayers. What does that mean? Answer me or not. You're still God.
You know what? We say this, and I'll tell you, I'm the first chicken in the bunch. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. Pick life. Pick life. Well, you know what? To be absent with the body is to be what? Present with the Lord? Present, absent. I'll be here. And so we say, God, I'll trust you. Well, what about the outcome? What if something goes wrong? What if it doesn't work? He's still God. Ready? If it's you who believes it is God who in the times wherein things are out of your control, that God will be the one to see you through, ready? The hospital said the beds are full. As you stand in your kitchen, it is clear in what you're seeing. The cupboards are empty. You go online, you visit your bank accounts, and it's lacking. But the power of that unfeigned faith in God becomes your resolve. It declares one way or another, my God will see me through. Don't care.
If Timmy's coffee becomes $5 a coffee cup, I ain't quitting coffee. He's going to give me two. All right. Ready quickly. Psalms 37:25. I already said this to you, but now you can read it for yourself. It's in your Bible, that book that you have in your hands. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. New Testament, Philippians 4:19. Ready? Philippians 4:19. But my God, let's say it together, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. This is unfeigned faith. Hey, let's call a pastor for prayer. Honey, set the table. Let's bind together for our need. And God, well, that's, I told you I said God, didn't I? Yeah, he's going to supply what we need. Right. Yeah, right. See, it's your faith in God that remains paramount in your life in reference to your receiving and to that of your attaining your salvation. You ever go a time in your life, you don't have to put your hand up, act like a bunch of sinners. But anybody in this house today, ever gone a time in your life wondering, if I died today, would I go to heaven? Okay, fine. But you're a pastor. You're leading this church. And you can I say a bad word in church today? Is everybody okay with this? It's kind of dirty. And it's below the ground. Ready? I'm going to shake your confidence. Pastor is flesh. Yeah. How can you do that? He's flesh like you. Punch me in the nose, brother. I'd probably bleed. And then I'd cry because you punched me. He's flesh. You're flesh. Hey, you know what? I like what the Bible. I don't have no confidence in the flesh. I got confidence in God. Wow. All right. Okay. It is your faith that becomes the catalyst, church, whose means provides for you the ability for God to be able to respond, as it's God who, through the power of your faith, is what he uses to enable him to be the one to meet your needs. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Okay, ready? Okay, ready? Here we go. I'm almost done this far. We've heard it a lot. Ready? For years, you've heard me probably say it 100 times, if not more, Brother Wilson. Maybe you said it 100 times before me. But maybe we need to hear it. Now, faith. For at the right time, in the right place, in the right day, God through. God, even though there's not money in your pocket, though there's not food in your cupboards, even the job has not come through, with your options limited and your resources few, and concerns, to the question of what now? I'll tell you what now. This is when the act and the action of unfeigned faith steps in and overrides the natural and walks you into the supernatural. You can come, Sister Z, just don't play. Give me about 2 minutes. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think according to the power of your faith. The power that works in us. What works in you? Faith. But pastor, I can't put my faith into a test tube and figure it out for myself. If I can't, with my human mind and reasoning, if I can't determine how it should be and how am I still supposed to believe, then I come to you. This is my closing. Under the unction of the Spirit of God, church, to declare to you that God in your life, that God through you in this life is looking for you to be the one to step out into that realm of that now faith that the Bible declares, and that no matter what happens, that unfeigned faith in your God stands true.
Amen.
Whether you're struggling in your life and making a decision, whether it's you in your life who's walking through a valley and you believe that there's no end, if it's you in your life who's standing right now at a crossroad and you don't know which way to turn, I want to tell you that God in this message is saying it's time for you to get off the fence of fear and unbelief and to step out into the waters of that now faith and to realize that it's been proven it's taken this far, faith. What will take you the rest of the way? Faith.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If this message came to us for no other reason, church, than for you to realize that you're putting your faith in God, not wavering.
Amen.
When you do, when you hang on to it, and you choose to trust and put your confidence as it rests in God by your
Amen.
Stepping into that realm of the tangible and the unknown,
yes.
God will meet you there. It's God who will take a hold of what you have in your life and turn it for good. If you refuse to let go
of what God has given you. What, Pastor? Unfeigned faith. Let's stand. Unfeigned faith. I wonder today if there's anybody in the house who's ready in your life to possess that unfeigned faith. Oh, I believe God. Let me mess up your hair. What do you believe now? I believe you're sleeping. No. I believe God. I want you to know that God loves you. I believe He's brought every one of us to this place today to share exactly what it is, your answer that you're looking for and what you need. I believe that it's time for all of us, folks, my last comment, to put our trust in God, in a real God who can answer any one of your needs that life presents to you in the realm of what? In the realm of unfeigned faith. And now, what are you going to do for an altar call? We already had a 2-hour altar call. That was pretty good. It's only 5:45, so I got 15 minutes. I want you today, right now, right where you are, whoever you are, don't lose me yet. I'll let you go, I promise. I want you to be the one who will step out of where you are standing. Whatever it is you need. You know what? I don't walk your trials, and I don't maybe walk the same tests. And I'm not where you're at right now, and you're not where I'm at. But I want every one of us who believes in that unfeigned faith, I want you to reach out in faith, walk to this front, put your hands up and claim your miracle. Put your family together, put your finances back, get you that job, make things work out for you. Just come to this front, church. Don't be scared. The altar's open. Unfeigned faith is waiting, and God is looking to respond.
And there's no one else to turn to, who do I talk to?